Ever since I had an entire show, I told you my machine, my computer at home is not my own. And that was a different computer. Like it burnt every electronic device, be it UPS or modem or whatnot. Gets fried. But I had to have a little break right there because I don't want to lose a whole show. And anyway, continuing with Proudhon. Nevertheless, I build no system. I ask an end to privilege, the abolition of slavery, equality of rights, and the reign of law, justice, nothing else. That is the alpha and omega of my argument. To others, I leave the business of governing the world. And I comment exactly in power. And our power-bent backs will straighten, our souls will expand into our greatness, and our society will unfold in accordance with that. Continuing. One day, I asked myself, why is there so much sorrow and misery in society? And I have to come in. Is that not our very first question once we begin to think as young people, underclass? If, as he said, our will is untrammeled and our conscience free, which is becoming less and less so earlier and earlier these days, continuing, must man always be wretched? And not satisfied with the explanations given by the reformers, these attributing the general distress to governmental cowardice and incapacity, those to conspirators and riots, still others to ignorance and general corruption. And weary of the interminable quarrels of the Tribune and the press, I sought to fathom the matter myself. It always results in something good when you do. Trust. When we use our own reasoning. The earth gave us the right stuff, the true stuff. I have consulted the masters of science. I have read 100 volumes of philosophy, law, political economy, and history. Would to God that I had lived in a century in which so much reading had been useless. This is a man who loves to live fully, right? I have made every effort to obtain exact information, comparing doctrines, replying to objections, continually constructing equations and reductions from arguments, and weighing thousands of syllogisms in the scales of the most rigorous logic. In this laborious work, I have collected many interesting facts which I shall share with my friends and the public as soon as I have leisure. But I must say that I recognized at once that we had never understood the meaning of these words, so common and yet so sacred. Justice, equity, liberty. That concerning each of these principles, our ideas have been utterly obscure. And in fact, that this ignorance was the sole cause both of the poverty that devours us and of all the calamities that have ever afflicted the human race, and I add, underclass. My mind was frightened by this strange result. I doubted my reason. What? Said I, that which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor insight penetrated, you have discovered? Wretch, mistake not the visions of your diseased brain for the truths of science. Do you not know, great philosophers have said so, that in points of political morality, and that's an oxymoron by my lexicon, universal error is a contradiction? I resolved then to test my arguments, and in entering upon this new labor, I sought an answer to the following questions. Is it possible that humanity can have been so long, in 10,000 years, plus is quite long. I would ask Pierre to stretch his definition of humanity back at least 100,000 years prior to class having seized and beat us into submission. I sought an answer to the following questions. Is it possible that humanity can have been so long and so universally mistaken in the application of moral principles? How and why could it be mistaken? How can its error, being universal, be capable of correction? And I comment, and then he read Bentham. Is this not a perfect illustration of how, by following our questions, we recover our authentic self, i.e., we make ourselves? And a perfect illustration as well of why power wants to stop our thinking. Continuing, these questions, on the solution of which depended the certainty of my conclusions, offered no lengthy resistance to analysis. It will be seen in Chapter 5 of this work, which we'll be jumping ahead to, that in morals, as in all other branches of knowledge, the gravest errors are the dogmas of science, that even in works of justice, to be mistaken is a privilege which ennobles man, and that whatever philosophical merit may attach to me is infinitely small. To name a thing is easy. The difficulty is to discern it before its appearance. In giving expression to the last stage of an idea which permeates all minds, which tomorrow will be proclaimed by another, if I fail to announce it today, I can claim no merit save that of priority of utterance. Do we eulogize the man who first perceives the dawn? Yes, all men believe and repeat that equality of conditions is identical with equality of rights, that property and robbery are synonymous terms, that every social advantage accorded or rather usurped in the name of superior talent or service is inequity and extortion. All men in their hearts, I say, bear witness to these truths. They need only to be made to understand it.